चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राध कृष्ण गोप गोपीना श्याम कुंद राधा गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। मायपुर नवदीप धाम की जय। वृंदावन मथुर धाम की जय। गंग माँ की जय। यमुना माँ की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। हरे राम संकीर्तन यात्रा की जय। नित्य गौर प्रेमानंद समवेत भक्तवृंद की जय। Our Lord is the
संशय
योच्यते नात्र संशय
एत
Yudhishthira.
He's
engaged.
He's engaged.
Na.
Never.
Atra.
Atra.
Here.
Samshayaha.
Doubt.
Doubt.
Translation of Prabhupada by Srivan Kresila Prabhupada Gichai. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. Purport. The highest summit of spiritual perfection is knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one is firmly convinced of the different opulences of the Supreme Lord, he cannot engage in devotional service. Generally, people know that God is great, but they do not know in detail how God is great. Here are the details. If one knows factually how God is great, then naturally he becomes a surrendered soul and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. When one factually knows the opulences of the Supreme, there is no alternative but to surrender to him. This factual knowledge can be known from the description in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures. In the administration of this universe, there are many demigods distributed throughout the planetary system, and the chief of them are Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the four great Kumaras, and the other patriarchs. Means Prajapatis. The many forefathers of the population of the universe, and all of them are born of the Supreme Lord Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original forefather of all forefathers. These are some of the opulences of the Supreme Lord. When one is firmly convinced of them, he accepts Krishna with great faith and without any doubt, and he engages in devotional service. All this particular knowledge is required in order to increase one's interest in the loving devotional service of the Lord. One should not neglect to understand fully how great Krishna is, for by knowing the greatness of Krishna, one will be able to be fixed in sincere devotional service. Etam vibhutim yogam cha mama yoveti tatvataha savikalpena yogena yuchate natra samshayaha. One who is factually convinced of this opulence, a mystic power of mine, engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. Om Akhyati Maramya Samakarancana Salankyam Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha. So here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks and also previously spoke several times about his different vibhutis. Vibhutis means manifestations of the divine power or opulences. So he gives only a hint, he says, actually his powers and manifestations are unlimited. But for the understanding of us, with our limited brain and capacity to understand and absorb, that we will not become too crazy. Because if we try to understand everything about Krishna, his great powers, then you may become a little... therefore Krishna only gives a certain hint. Beginning in the 7th chapter, those of you who would like to read, text 8, 7th chapter, text 8, it's the first where Krishna starts. speak about what powers or energies in this what we can observe or observe and see with our own senses, material senses, of course, not with the spiritual senses now. So he gives us a hint how we can understand Krishna even with our material senses. So he says, O son of Kunti, text 8, I'm the taste of water. Anyone can taste water. How water is tasting, it's difficult to find out nowadays because water is not so pure anymore from the source. Especially in Russia and also here in India. Here in Vrindavan, the water is salty. In Russia, it is smells and like rotten eggs in certain places. Rotten eggs, you know? Like something not so nice. Isn't it? Or with a lot of chemicals inside, you know, to purify it. But the water, in its original state, it's very pure, it is crystal clear, it is permanent. Therefore, it can transmit everything, transport all everything. And the natural taste of water is sweet. Rasoham apsakantya. Here Krishna says, I'm the sweetness, the sweet taste of the water. The original water is tasting very sweet, very nice. It's a very nice fragrance. So if you can taste by drinking water Krishna, then you remember Krishna. Oh, this is Krishna. This taste is Krishna. That's the beginning of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says. He also explains that even those who don't like to drink water, nowadays some people don't like to drink water, they prefer water in distilled water, you know. I would say alcohol, in alcohol form. So Prabhupada says, so even the alcoholic, he can understand Krishna through the liquidity, through the liquid of the alcohol. And so if he understands this alcohol is actually Krishna, then ultimately he will also become Krishna conscious. So Krishna says, I'm the taste of the water, I'm the light of the sun. Sun we can also perceive. More and more now. Springtime is coming, so the sun is coming on. Although the sun is always here, but everyone becomes very happy, very enlightened, very joyful by seeing the sun. So I'm the light of the sun and of the moon. And I'm the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. The way the yogis or those who are the priests of the Vedic chanting the Vedic hymns, before they chant mantras, they always chant Om. Om Tat Vishnu. Like Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Therefore, also before we are reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, we chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And I'm the sound in the ether, because without ether, we have no sound, although we have ears, but the ears can only perceive or receive the sound vibration through the agency of the ether. So the ether also represents Krishna. Therefore, also to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we need the ether element and the ear, so that we can hear and relish the holy name. So the holy name is coming. It's not a material sound. It comes from the spiritual world. Golokera Premadana, Ari Nama Sankirtan, Kali Kalera Nama Rupa, Krishna Avatar. So the holy name is Krishna in form of
transcendental sound. Like Omkara is a transcendental sound, vibration of the Lord, representing the Lord. But the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's a more personal address of the Lord. So both the Om, Kara, Pranava, Omkar, and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra are all Vedic mantras, and we have to receive and perceive through the agency of the ether and the ear. So and then when we become purified by this process of hearing the transcendental sound. Materialistic sound, about politics and about sense gratification, it's also transmitted by the ether. So the ether transports all kinds of sound, transcendental and also materialistic sound. Therefore the Vedas say, Om Anavritti Shabdaha, that means sound. Sound can elevate you or also can degrade you. Therefore, it's very important to give concentration of the proper sound, what we would like to hear. So if you hear about the sound about Krishna, Krishna Katha, then naturally the heart, the consciousness, the senses, everything becomes purified. And if we fill our mind and the senses and the heart up with materialistic topics, gramya katha, then we become polluted, we fall in illusion and consider ourselves a material product and not a servant of Krishna. So Krishna created this material, wonderful material manifestation for the living entities. Spirit souls, his eternal part and parcels, so to give them an opportunity to come in contact with him, because we have forgotten him since time immemorial. Anadi Bahimukha. Since time immemorial, we are in contact with this material energy, Bahimukha. But even more Lord merciful, he represents himself, he manifests himself in this material manifestation. Although the material manifestation in itself is asat, it is unconscious, it is ignorant. But because of the presence of the Lord as a super soul and as the different energies of the Lord, they are not different from him. This universe is actually not different from Krishna. And therefore, if we are exploiting this material universe for our own sense gratification, then it keeps us illusioned in this material world, life after life. But if we learn how to engage this material universe, this energy of Krishna, understanding, yes, everything actually comes from Krishna. Atata Brahma Jigyasa, he is the original source. He is the one we should ask questions for. And the supreme goal, Vasudev Param Gatim, he is that supreme Lord. And therefore we learn through the guidance of Shastra, scriptures, and the spiritual master and sadhus, how to engage the senses and minds and everything that we possess in yoga, in bhakti yoga, for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shastra means either weapon or it means book, knowledge. So by both of them, is cutting. It's a cutting effect. Shastra, a knife or a sword, has a cutting effect. It's a weapon. It can cut you. And Shastra also cuts you. It cuts your material attachments. It gives you the viraga, vairagya, from material attachment. In material world, everyone is overpowered by vita, raga, baya, krodha. Shastra, by Shastra Vidhi, by knowledge through scriptures, the Lord mercifully manifests Brahma Shabdaha, transcendental sound vibration, so that we living entities can hear through the agency of ether and through the material senses and the mind, we can learn to understand the Lord in proper way, in tattvataha, not in ignorance, not in illusion. God or Krishna is not an imagination, it's not a hallucination, it's not something that we can imagine in the yoga studio or in our mind in a fictive form. Krishna has particular form, particular qualities, particular names, particular pastimes, particular likes and dislikes, and associates and leelas. And so all these we have to understand in proper way, in tattvataha. As Krishna says, if one understands me in tattvataha, my birth, my appearance, and my activities, jama karma, jame divyam, evam yoveti tattvataha, dhaktva diham puna jama, naiti mam eti sorjana. If you understand Krishna properly, then you will not take birth in this material world again. Materialists who only read newspapers or mundane books, or Mayavadis who only read Brahma Satyam Jagat Mitya, only impersonalistic books or commentaries on Vedanta or Upanishads, have mistaken the Lord as a material product. But the Lord, as the source of all existence, Jamadyasya Yatha, as it is pointed out in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Jamadyasya Yatha, I am the source, I am the origin of everything. Everything is manifested from me. Therefore, even the great sages and the great demigods who are very influential in this universe, or controllers in this universe, they become bewildered by my Achintya Shakti, by my incredible material manifestation. So therefore, we cannot understand Krishna in the universe from the empiric way of view, with our brain substance and with our senses. We have to learn how to understand him through Brahma Shabda, through transcendental sound, through knowledge revealed through scriptures. So therefore we have Shastra. And these Shastra, they come from Krishna. Krishna is manifesting the Vedas. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. Vidarsa Sarvai Aham Eva Vidya Vidanta Krit Veda Vid Eva Jaham. What is the first line of it? Vidarsa Sarvasya Jaham Riti Sani Vishto Matak Smiti Vyanam Apohanam Cha. So Krishna says that I'm the compiler of the Vedas, I'm the knower of the Veda, and I'm the goal of the Veda. So the Vedas, therefore, the scriptures, Vedic scriptures, are meant to understand Krishna alone. And these science like Ayurveda, astronomy, astrology, Vastu, all this is Upaveda. This is secondary, or how say, lower kind of knowledge. The Paravidya, not Aparavidya. There's material knowledge given by the Vedas, material science, like mentioned already, or architecture like that. This material science is called Aparavidya. But Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, and also in Srimad Bhagavatam, and actually all these Vedic literatures, beginning with Upanishads, and Puranas, the Krishna here further explains, I'm the original fragrance of the earth. The earth has a smell, very beautiful smell. Earth smells very nicely by the original earth fragrance. It's very beautiful, it's very enlivening. So that is Krishna's smell. And I'm the heat of the fire. In the winter, and also for cooking, we need fire. So we can also remember Krishna by seeing the fire, because without the fire we cannot live. Without sun we cannot live. We would all die, we would not exist in this material world. I'm the life of all the lives. And I'm the penance of the ascetics, tapasis. I'm the penance. And sometimes one becomes very proud on tapa, on one's austerities, without understanding that actually the austerity and the power that you can keep and the austerity to the end, it's actually depends on Krishna. So if we become then independent and think this is my power, it's my austerity, then we can become weak and then fall down. So it's very dangerous to take tapasya independently of Krishna or in relation to Krishna. Therefore, Rishabhadev, he says, tapo divyam putra, something he points out that tapo divyam, the transcendental tapasya, to engage in devotional service, this is the real tapasya and the only tapasya actually recommended in by Krishna, bhakti aham ekaha graya. Only by bhakti ultimately we can understand and attain him. But to engage in bhakti, we have to learn, as Prabhupada is pointing out, and as I've stated now here in Bhagavad Gita, we have to learn about the knowledge about Krishna, who Krishna actually is, and how to understand Krishna. Because if we sentimentally engage in bhakti, only in the rasa pastimes with Krishna, in the sweet relationship with Krishna, and fail to understand Krishna as he is, with all his powers and opulences, and his omnipresent in the material and in the spiritual energies, then we may fall down and speculate and become independent or joyous. But if you understand Krishna properly, his greatness, then we can surrender unto him very happily, very convincingly, very without doubt. What keeps us in this material world in illusion is doubt. But here Krishna says, you know, asamshaya, without doubt, the devotee understands me. He will have knowledge about me. One who is effectually convinced of the opulence and mystic power of my mind, engages in unalloyed devotional service, of this there is no doubt. So he will engage in devotional service if he understands Krishna's powers, Krishna's position, and Krishna's omniscience, that he is everywhere present. But we should not be Mayavati and think now everything is Krishna, everything is part and parcel of Krishna, is energy of Krishna. But we should always understand Krishna himself is also aloof. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagata vyakta murtina. As stated also in the Bhagavad Gita, although I'm situated everywhere in this material world, in the same time I'm aloof of it. So he is simultaneously here and also aloof. He's aloof. So like the sun is situated in one place, but it can reflect itself in different mirrors, in waters, different water places, lakes, rivers, and so it looks like there are many suns, although the sun is only situated in one place. So in the same way, Krishna is situated in that place, but simultaneously he appears everywhere. He's present there through his energy, through his different manifestations. Because he's most opulent. That means he has all the resources. Sat Aishwarya Purna, last time we spoke about his Bhagavan, he has all six opulences. So he has all the resources, all riches, all beauty, all opulences, all powers, and so on. It's all in Krishna. Like a very rich man, if you know your friend or a personality you are approaching is a very rich man, very influential man, he's a great ruler, he has many things under him, under his control, you become very happy, you become very convinced to surrender unto him and make yourself dependent on him. So it's not just Taridra Narayana, the poor Narayana on the street. Is our Lord Krishna is the master and the Lord Lakshmi, the Lord of Radharani. So Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Raina. So he's always full of opulence. He never becomes Taridra, a poor man in the street, like the Mayavadis say. So we have to serve the Taridra Narayanas on the street and feeding them and respecting them. Of course, we can respect them, we feed them, but we should not see them equal as Narayana. Still, Narayana we should worship. It's not that we worship just the Taridra on the street by feeding them and neglecting the real Narayana, the Vaikunthanath, the Lord of Vaikuntha. So, therefore, we should not speculate and think, I have to not worship the Supreme Lord. I worship and serve the Taridra Narayana, the poor Narayana. Of course, the materialist, this is very nice because it makes you the feeling, yes, I'm in control, I'm the giver. You don't have to surrender. But if you understand Narayana is rich, he's not dependent on your opulences or on your giving power. So you're surrendering to surrender to that Lord and make yourself dependent on him, not that he has to make himself dependent on you. Somebody has all the resources, he doesn't need anyone's help to assist him, to please him, to satisfy him. He has already everything. So to give Krishna something, it's not that something Krishna needs, or he becomes richer because of your gifts and of your donations or of your offerings. Everything already belongs to him. So he's not becoming richer. It doesn't become more. He's already everything, Purnam. And everything that becomes manifested by him is also Purnam. And still he stays Purnam, he stays complete. So he's always complete, although he expands himself in so many different energies and forms in the spiritual and in the material world. He still is Purnam, he's always complete. So that is the Lord. He's never become ordinary, normal personality, ordinary human. Even if he comes to this material world, as a small child, what he did? He was just a few months old. A witch like Putana came, he wanted to kill him, poison him. But you understand, Krishna understood it. Oh, here is a witch, Putana, Rakshasini. She's coming in disguise as a mother to me, to give me her breast milk, actually in form of poison. So he thought, okay, please come. And he sucked out her life force. He killed her, but at the same time he gave her position as a mother in the spiritual world. In Goloka she became a mother because she came as a mother to Krishna. So Krishna reciprocated with her. And he was just a small boy, a baby. And she was a big witch, several kilometers long, ultimately, when she died, form. And Krishna, he finished her off. And he was 7 years old, he lifted up the Govardhan hill, which 7 year old boy, even if you are a very trained personality, you cannot lift up a hill for 7 days with a small finger, even with the left hand, not with your strongest hand. So that's Krishna showed his power from the very beginning. He showed his universal form to Mother. Looking in Krishna's mouth. Pramandagat. Pramandagat. Gokul. Pramandagat. So one day, Balaram and the friends of Krishna, they came complaining to Mother Yashoda. Krishna has eaten earth, sand, praj, dust, and clay from the Yamuna. So they all came. Then Mother Yashoda became very upset. But Krishna, what are you here from your friends and from your elder brother, Balaram? You are eating clay? Krishna said, no, Mama. They are lying. They're all lying. They just lie to you. I didn't eat clay. If you don't believe me, you can look in my mouth. There must be clay inside, not? Or at least some remnants must be there. And the mother, look, okay, open your mouth, son. And then he opened his mouth, and she was looking inside. And then what she saw? She saw the entire universe. Upper planets, middle planets, lower planets. All different manifestations in this universe. And even herself, she was inside. For a short time she became bewildered. Is this magic? Is this some trick here? Magical trick? I'm under some influence of some witch here, some maybe or ghost. Who put me under drug here or some hallucination? And she became very bewildered. How my son can be the universal form? With all the demigods and sages inside, and the suns and the moons and the different stars, and even herself. Everything was inside Krishna. She saw, she made very big eyes, and then she was completely bewildered. But then Krishna understood, my mother is bewildered of my opulence. Because the devotee here in Vrindavan, it's the Krishna's opulence is not very much important. They didn't surrender to Krishna or love Krishna because he is God, because he has so much powers. For ordinary devotees, this is important. But for an eternal associate of the Lord, those who are all his eternal associates, they're not interested if Krishna is God or not God. They just love him anyway. Contrary, if they see Krishna's opulence, and they think, how my son, how my friend, how my lover can have such kind of opulences. So they sometimes become overpowered by fear, or I would say, respect, awe and reverence. And because awe and reverence hampers the pure bhakti flow, this ecstatic love to Krishna, to see him as a son, or as a friend, or as a lover. Therefore Krishna withdrew his this maya energy, yoga maya, from his devotees. Concept or bewilderment, who see him as an Ishvara or very powerful universal form, and all this disappears, and then again he becomes the son or friend, and then they be- taking care of Krishna. Because Mother Yashoda always thinks, you know, to take care of Krishna, not that Krishna has to take care of herself. But he has to maintain herself. If he is the Lord of the universe, you know, then my mother should take care of the Lord of the universe. Better the Lord of the universe takes care of me, you know, because I'm part and parcel of the Lord of the universe manifestation. So better he takes care of me. But in Bhakti, in Vrindavan here, it's only in Vrindavan. There's not no other place in the world, in the universe, where his Bhakti is so intimate, so much confidential, like here in Vrindavan. Because here in Vrindavan, the devotees here only want to serve Krishna and please Krishna as their son, who is dependent on them. So they have to teach him, they have to chastise him, they have to bind him sometimes if he's not doing wrong, they have to correct him. So this Krishna relishes very much, and also devotee relishes very much. Or the friends playing with him on the equal level, challenging him, oh Krishna, just let's see your power, how much you are stronger than we. We want to see that. Actually, you and I, we are equals, so let us have a fight and we will I will defeat you. So in this way, the Lord is respecting and appreciating this kind of relationship very, very much. Like a king, he has all resources, all powers, all opulences. To the outside world, to the citizens, he represents, the royal power of a king. So everyone is very awe and reverent, respectful, and surrendered, glorifying him, chanting different hymns. Glorification. But at home, you know, he's just the father, the lover. So he plays with his children, he plays with his wife, and he seems to be sometimes defeated even by them. But that's because of his own sweet will, because he's enjoying. So to control and to be Ishvara and to always taking care for the other needs, you know, it's a tough job. Ishvara job is very tough. Therefore Krishna, as the supreme enjoyer, Purushottama, he enjoys more, the different relationship with his devotees than just the taking care for universal affairs. Although he's also doing that. Because he has two aspects, as I already told last time, last Monday, the Aishwarya and the Madhurya. The Madhurya, his sweetness and also his opulences. So Krishna is manifested in this way and understood in this way by the devotee. So then Krishna here further, he says, know that all states of being, be there in goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I'm in one sense everything, but I'm independent. I'm not under the modes of material nature, for they are, on the contrary, are within me. And due to the influence of the three modes of material nature, the people in this material world cannot understand him who is. And then in the ninth chapter again, Krishna says in text 15, 16, but it is I who I am the ritual, I am the sacrifice, the offering of the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant, I am the butter and the fire and the offering. That's now all the ingredients for the sacrificial yajna performance, sacrifice. I am the father of the universe, the mother, the support, and the grandsire. purifier and the syllable Om. I'm also the Rig, the Sama and the Yajurveda. I'm the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place, and the eternal seat. Vajuna, I give heat, and I withhold, and send forth the rain. I am immortality, and I am also death personified. Both spirit and matter are in me. Those who study the Vedas and drink the Soma Rasa, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly, purified of sinful reaction, they take birth on the pious heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy worldly delights. So those who just worship then the Lord with material ingredients, but worship Indra or a demigod instead of the Supreme Lord, and they attain that destination. But Krishna points out here, especially again in 10th chapter, he takes up describing his opulences, how important it is that we understand that from him everything comes. That's the tomorrow's verse, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. And only the intelligent one understands this and surrender unto me. So Krishna, therefore, reveals this knowledge of Shastra so that we have an opportunity to understand him as new devotees who are aspiring to understand God and surrender unto him. Therefore, we have to learn first and be convinced without doubt that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I am his eternal servant. And it is for my benefit if I surrender to him and engage in loving devotional service under the direction of spiritual master, following rules and regulations to attain him and get shelter of him. Without this bhakti process and without understanding who Krishna is, it is very, very difficult to surrender unto him. Like one time Brahma had the experience. How old Krishna was? He was about 5 years old, Kumara age, almost five years old he was. And he went out with his friends and with the calves on the Gocharana, pasturing grounds here in Gokul. And he had much fun in this way, taking picnic with his friends. Krishna was sitting in the center, like in a lotus, the center of a lotus, and friends were all circumambulating him. They're all sharing each other's picnic bags and relishing what their different mothers prepared, and they gave it to Krishna. They ate themselves and they told, "Oh Krishna, see how nice this my mama made this preparation today, you know. Please try it." And then Krishna, although he is the Yajnabhuk means he only eats through sacrifices. That same Krishna, you know, he is like a 5-year-old boy eating from the picnic bags, you know, from the cowherd boys and gopas. So when Brahma observed that, you know, with his swan carrier, you know, he thought, "Who is that? You know, is this my Padmanabha? Is this my worshipable Lord? The source of my life, my father? I cannot believe it. He's a 5-year-old boy. How everyone comes here and glorifies him as a god, as the Supreme Personality of God, that is Krishna. I cannot believe that. I cannot believe. So I want to make a trick. I want to test him." So Brahma he came down. And after Krishna, because Krishna, there are always some straying cows, because Krishna always was absorbed in Leelas with his friends, pastimes, games, playing something, or picnicking, and then they completely forgot, you know, to take care of the calves. So the calves went away in different places. And then Krishna says, okay, I will go now. You just remain here, sitting here, finish your picnic, and I will go and will look for Krishna. Krishna still has some laddu and some milk preparation in his hand. He was not even eating finished, so with this meal preparation in hand, you know, he was looking, where are the calves here, you know? So he went away from the friends. So that time, the Brahma, he thought, this is a very good time now, so I will go now and kidnap all these friends of Krishna, the so-called Krishna, and the his calves. And then we will see how much gold he is, if he will be bewildered or not. Brahma came and he kidnapped them. It's called Brahma Vimohana Lila, described in the 10th canto, 13th chapter. It's actually the last chapter of Prabhupada was translating before he passed away. He always dictated and dictated the commentary to this 13th chapter. It's very ecstatic, very sweet pastime. So Krishna, when Krishna returned to that place, picnic place, so he only saw the picnic remnants, but there were no friends, no calves. So he thought for a moment, what's going on? But because he's the omniscient Lord, he could understand, this could be some higher power's trick. So let's see. And what he did, he manifested from his own body, because his body is not just 5 year old or 1 year old or 120 year old or whatever. He's always eternal, Satchitananda Vigraha. And all opulences are in him. All avatars are in him. All spiritual worlds are in him. And so there's no difference between Krishna's inside and Krishna's outside. So Krishna manifested from his own internal energy the same set of calves and the same sets of friends. With the same name, with the same colors, because every friend has different colors, bodily color, different dress. Some wear blue dhotis, some wear yellow dhotis, some pink, some green, some wear a bluish bodily complexion, some gora, golden, some whitish, like that. Some brown, some green. Yeah. So, and everyone had different turbans, different colors, different likes, different what he likes, because Krishna knew which favorite preparation every cowboy knew. So he was personally taking care that every cowboy would get his favorite prasad. So everyone was had a personal individuality. So Krishna manifested this same individuality, but from his Vishnu Shakti. And the pastime went on. So when Brahma came, curious to see what is going on, actually 1 year passed in this time. Because in this time, Brahma left and came back. Although it was just a moment, it was 1 year going by. In the meantime, you know, Shivasis, they loved Krishna's the friends, although he was Krishna himself, they were all Krishna, because they all had the desire to love Krishna, to have Krishna's son. And for 1 year they had this opportunity to always associate with Krishna. Because everyone understood, oh, my son, how is it possible to have the same affection to him now like to Krishna? And the cows with the calves also the same. Right? More affection to their calves, you know. Although they were already older than their younger calves, whom they should actually take naturally care. So for 1 year this went on, and Krishna and Brahma came back and saw Krishna and all this pastime going on. And he was completely bewildered, he didn't understand what is going on. I'm now in illusion. So he they came back now from his hidden place. So he went there, four back. He saw them simultaneously there, simultaneously here. He thought, oh, now I'm completely confused. I maybe made a mistake. So understood. He became enlightened. He understood, oh, this boy must be Krishna himself. So he became very humble, and he offered obeisances to Krishna. This stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, or in 14th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, are the prayers of Brahma. So here it is described. When the Lord Brahma from the universe saw this pastime, he was astonished and struck with wonder. After offering his prayers, he gave the following conclusion. Lord Brahma said, if someone says that he knows everything about Krishna's opulence, let him think that way. But as far as I'm concerned, with my body and mind, I consider it in this way. Oh my Lord, your opulence is like an unlimited ocean of nectar, and it is verbally and mentally impossible for me to realize even a drop of that ocean. This is from Madhya Lila, 21st chapter. Lord Chaitanya describes the opulence, the Aishwarya, and the Madhurya, the sweetness of Lord Krishna. And Brahma quoted the verse, famous verse, Jananta eva jananta kim bahuktya name prabho manaso vapuso vacho vaibhavam tava gocharaha. There are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Many times, if you want to tell somebody about Krishna, especially here in India, yeah, I know Krishna. Brahma also said, somebody may say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way. As far as I'm concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. Oh my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of mind, body, and words. And this Brahma is saying, the creator of the universe with four heads. Let the glories of Lord Krishna be. Who could be aware of all them? His abode, Vrindavan, has many wonderful opulences. Just try to see them all. According to the revelations of revealed scriptures, Vrindavan extends only 16 kroshas, 32 miles. Nonetheless, all the Vaikuntha planets and innumerable universes are located in just one corner of this tract of land. No one can estimate the opulence of Krishna. That is unlimited. However, just as one sees the moon through the branches of the tree, I wish to give a little indication. While describing the transcendental opulences of Krishna, the ocean of opulence manifests in the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and and his mind and senses were immersed in this ocean, as he was perplexed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally recited the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and to relish the meaning, he began to explain it himself. Svayam vasamyati shayastri adisha svaracya lakshmi apta samasta kama palim harapis chiraloka palai kirita kodita padapitaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the master of the three worlds and the three principal demigods, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. No one is equal to or greater than him. By his spiritual potency, known as Svarajya Lakshmi, all his desires are fulfilled. While offering their dues and presents in worship, the predominating deities of all the planets touch the lotus feet of the Lord with their helmets. Thus they offer prayers to the Lord. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore he is the greatest of all. No one is equal to him, nor is anyone greater than him. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachitananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body, is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. The primary predominating deities of this material creation are Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. They are the Guna avatars. Nonetheless, they simply carry out the orders of Lord Krishna, who is the master of them all. Lord Brahma said, Ichami tan niyuktaham haruharati tatvasaha vishvam purusha rupena parispati trishaktidrik. Now, following the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I create, Lord Shiva destroys, and he himself, in the form of Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, maintains all the affairs of the material nature. Thus, the supreme controller of the three modes of material nature is Lord Vishnu. Quote from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.32. This is only a general description. Please try to understand another meaning of Triyadisha. The three Purusha incarnations of Vishnu are the original cause of the material creation. Mahavishnu, Padmanabha, and Kshiradakshaya Vishnu are the super souls of all subtle and gross existences. Mahavishnu, Padmanabha means Garbhodaka and Kshiradaka, super soul. Although Mahavishnu, Padmanabha, and Kshiradakshaya Vishnu are all shelters and controllers of the entire universe, they are nonetheless but plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of Krishna. Therefore, he is the original personality of Godhead. Asaika nishvasita kalam atava valambya jivanti loma avila cha jagadandanata Vishnu mahansaiha yasya kala vishesho govindam adipurusham damaham pachami. The Brahma and other lords of the mountain worlds appear from the pores of Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his own exhalation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom Mahavishnu is a portion of a plenary portion. This is the middle meaning of Triyadisha. Now please hear the confidential meaning. Lord Krishna has three places of residence which are well known from the revealed scriptures. The internal abode is called Goloka Vrindavan. It is there that Lord Krishna's personal friends, associates, father and mother live. Vrindavan Vrindavan is the storehouse of Krishna's mercy and the sweet opulences of conjugal love. That is where the spiritual energy, working as a maid servant, exhibits the rasa dance, the quintessence of all pastimes. Vrindavan Dham is the very soft dew of the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and it is especially opulent due to conjugal love. The transcendental glories of the son of Maharaj Nanda are exhibited here under the circumstances. Not the least anxiety is awakened within us. Below the Vrindavan planet is the spiritual sky, which is known as Vishnuloka. In Vishnuloka there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets controlled by Narayana and innumerable other expansions of Krishna. The spiritual sky, which is full of six opulences, is the intermediate residence of Lord Krishna. It is there that an unlimited number of forms of Krishna enjoy their pastimes. Innumerable Vaikuntha planets, which are just like different rooms of a treasury house, are all there, filled with all opulences. Those unlimited planets, planets house the Lord's eternal associates, who are also enriched with the six opulences. Loka namni nichadam nitale chatasya devi mahesha haridam suteshu teshu tete prabhava nichaya vitaschayena govindamati purusham tamam pachami. Below the planet named Goloka, Vrindavan, are the planets known as Devidam, Maheshdam, and Haridam. These are opulent in different ways. They are managed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the original Lord, of my obeisances unto Him. Quote from Padma Purana. Between the spiritual and the material world is a body of water known as the river Viraja. This water is generated from the bodily perspiration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Vedanga, as the river flows. Beyond the river Viraja is the spiritual nature, which is indestructible, eternal, inexhaustible, and unlimited. It is the supreme abode, consisting of three-fourths of the Lord's opulences. It is known as Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. On the other side of the river Viraja is the external abode, which is full of unlimited universes, each containing unlimited atmospheres. The abode of the external energy is called Devidam, and its inhabitants are the conditioned souls. It is there that the material energy Durga resides with many opulent maidservants. Krishna is the supreme proprietor of all dhammas, including Goloka Dham, Vaikuntha Dham, and Devi Dham. The Paravyoma and Goloka Dham are beyond Devi Dham, this material world. The spiritual world is considered to be three-fourths of the energy and opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas the material world is only one-fourth of that energy, that is our understanding. Just this one-fourth, this vibhuti of the material creation is only manifest in the material world, not in the spiritual world. It's already indescribable, unlimited. Not to speak of the Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, who's three-quarter and unlimited. Three-quarter means it's unlimited. It gives us only an idea. Actually, it is unlimited. Because it consists of three-fourths of the Lord's energy, the spiritual world is called Tripad Bhuta. Being a manifestation of one-fourth of the Lord's energy, the material world is called Ekapad Vibhuti. The three-fourths part of Lord Krishna's energy is beyond our speaking power. Let us therefore hear elaborately about the remaining one-fourth of his energy. The three-fourths is above our understanding. Therefore, let's understand one-fourth. Actually, it is very difficult to ascertain the number of universes. Every universe has its separate Lord Brahma. servant came in and he told Krishna, Dwarakanath, Brahma is here, asking for audience. And Krishna asked, oh, which Brahma? So the servant went out asking, Krishna asked, you know, which Brahma you are? So then Brahma became confused, and then because he understood, I'm the only Brahma, four-headed Brahma. So he told, I'm the four-headed Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras. Servant went in and told, it is the four-headed Brahma, the father of the Kumaras, he told. He said, okay, let him in, come in. So Brahma came in, get the darshan, offered his obeisances to Krishna, and then Krishna was happy to see him and ask him, so what is your visit here? Everything is alright in your universe and like that. Only have a problem. So Brahma said, I have one question only. Because when I came here, you asked, you know, which Brahma is outside. So does this mean, you know, there are more Brahma than me? And Krishna understood Brahma's ignorance. And he called all the Brahmas from all the universes, some with 10 heads, with hundreds heads, thousands of heads, and also Shivas. And they all offered obeisances to Lord Krishna with their helmets. So when Brahma realized that and saw Krishna's opulences universes, universal leaders who all came, and he understood that according to the heads of all these universal leaders, the universe accordingly was also greater. This Brahma's universe is one of the smallest ones, therefore he only has four heads. Others have more heads, 10 heads. So that, then Brahma they became very very impressed by this vision, and he also offered Krishna prayers of glorification that he understood him as the Supreme Lord by on his imagination. So therefore Krishna we cannot understand with our tiny brain fully. So therefore we can understand that what Krishna reveals through Bhagavad Gita, through Srimad Bhagavatam, and what the acharyas give us. So if we learn how to understand Krishna in this way, then we can become attracted, we can become convinced, and then we will not deviate, to try to do something else, make something else as our goal, or become frustrated about the goal of life, think everything is anyway nonsense, useless, has no sense. So then you surrender to Krishna. And therefore this whole 10th chapter actually brings us to the point of more surrender to Krishna, be convinced and surrender to him, be convinced of his opulences. And also describes the sweet exchanges of the devotees amongst each other, speaking and hearing about Krishna, and it also shows how Krishna gives intelligence to those devotees who surrender to him, and how Krishna becomes pleased and manifests in the heart of the devotee, giving him the intelligence how to come to him, enlightens him from within, removing all the ignorance, all anarthas. So that the devotee can be fully fixed in pure bhakti, in devotion to Krishna. spoke more and more, and he didn't want to stop anymore. Speaker, if there's nobody wants to listen, you know. Mm-hmm. Although Prabhupada said we should preach, we should speak somehow, other Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it's very dear to Krishna if you do that. And even if there's no audience, you can preach to the four walls. Mm. Four walls, you know. But of course, if even one person is here attentively listening, you know, then this is very nice. Herself as a mother, as a well-wisher. And therefore Krishna accepted this mood, you know, although she came in with evil attention.
Why these evils are, it appears, it seems that these evils are rewarded, and the devotees that try really, really hard, they have to come back live.
Because Krishna is absolute. So if you're positive about Krishna or negative, it's always positive. Shows that even negativity in bhakti, like the witch Putana or Shishupal, who blasphemed Krishna 108 times out of his quota, and this was ultimately Mother Saraswati turned all this into glorification, into kirtan, his blasphemy. So they became benefit. Demons. Therefore, Narada Muni says, oh, how glorious are the demons. Because the demons who became killed by Krishna, they were so much absorbed in Krishna, much more than we ordinary devotee can do. But in the negative way, as enemy. But they were so much absorbed, you know. They had no other thought. Kamsa. 24 hours he was thinking he was Krishna conscious, but he was afraid of Krishna. Oh, he is dead, personified. He will kill me. I have to go and get rid of him, kill him, you know. Otherwise he will come and kill me. So 24 hours he had sleepless nights, only thinking about Krishna. He had nightmares of Krishna. So these are examples of negative Krishna consciousness. Of course, we should not imitate that. We think, okay, then I also become demon. But they have to understand that they were special demons. Nowadays, demons, we cannot compare them with these demons from that time. They were special incarnations from the universe that they could absorb in such a way. Others, they cannot do like that. Therefore, we have to try to become devotee and become positive and, following this Anukulena Krishna Shilanam Bhakti Rutama, the favorable devotional service. It's called Anukula Bhakti. Accepting everything favorable for Krishna and rejecting that which is unfavorable. These are the two first items of Sharanagati, of surrendering.
Even today morning, we were in Bhagavatam class, we were told that
Krishna was always so much absorbed in Leela, Leela in pastimes, that he forgot to eat. The lunch bag what mother gave him, sent him, you know. And friends, they had no time for eating. So therefore, every day, Yoga Maya sent some demon, let the demon in to fight with Krishna, and after Krishna killed him, you know, then they had picnic. They celebrated, and the coward boys became so happy, so proud, and just see our Krishna, you know, how he defeated these big devils, this big demon, you know, single-handedly. You know? So they became very proud. They came back to Gokul and they told everyone, you know, singing the kirtan of Krishna's glories of the day of his activities of victory. So that's actually for Vishnu this is true, you know, for Vishnu, because in Vaikuntha there's no fight. Understand? There's no enemy in Vaikuntha. Because even the enemies in Vaikuntha are favorable. they're playboys, Krishna is playing with them in favorableness. There's no demon. Negativity cannot exist in Vaikuntha because there's no guna. World. So therefore Lord Narayana, you know, sometimes it's very boring because everyone comes, Om Narayana Maha, obeisances and all the respect and glorifying him, you know, singing the glories of Narayana, Lakshmi. So it's very boring for him. So sometimes he likes to have a fight. Therefore he comes to the material world, he has sent some demons, you know, who are capable to fight with him. Right? But Krishna has fight every day with his friends, with Sridhama, Sudama, with his equals, with his equal friends, you know, they had every day, they had some mock fight together. So there was no problem for Krishna with fighting. Of course, this is, could also be one reason, that Krishna would like to fight with somebody, like a real demon, a real fight, you know. But he anyway has every day some fights. But Prabhupada told the main reason why the demons came and Krishna fight it was because he didn't eat his picnic. Plans. Which plans?
Place.
Plans. Yeah, plan. Which plan Krishna has? Yeah. You want to know? But then, if you know already in few what will happen with you, what will then maybe you will be frustrated. So better you take every day as a new day and let yourself surprise. Krishna is your well-wisher. Krishna arranges everything for you, ultimately for your benefit. Even if it sometimes looks negative, it's positive. If you take a positive. Clear? So it's all, the devotee always is. Tenu kampam sasamikshamano puchane vatmakritam vipakam ritvakva bubir vidadam namaste jivete ya mukti pade sadaya bhak. So Brahma's prayer, he says a devotee he can take any situation as Krishna's mercy, even awkward, even a negative situation he takes as Krishna's mercy. And it gives him an impetus, you know, to surrender him more to Krishna and glorifying him with body, mind, and word. Bhagavatam says, he or she who has such a kind of impetus in devotional service to serve Krishna in all circumstances, he becomes a proper candidate for Mukti Padesa. shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. One is clear, what Krishna wants for you, surrender. That you love him with your heart and everything what you have, and engage in devotional service. And chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Ananda Maya yourself. Living entities are made to be happy, not to become visible. Visible is caused by our independent will, you know, not to engage in Krishna service. But if you engage in Krishna service, you become naturally happy. And if you become happy in Krishna consciousness, then this increases Krishna's happiness. And if Krishna becomes more happy, then you become more happy. There's another place, it's called Brahma Radha. Brahma Radha. It's a place where Krishna, because after one time, Nanda Maharaj, because he was taking bath in the wrong time, too early in the morning, it was dark. So Varuna took him down to the underneath the water. So Krishna went to take him back. Varuna glorified him. He only wanted to get the darshan of Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, and also that Krishna himself comes. So he was very happy, glorified Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So Nanda Maharaj heard about the glories of Krishna from Varuna, the god of the waters. So when he returned to Gokul, so he told everyone about the glorious position of Krishna, what he heard from Varuna Dev. And then the inhabitants of Gokul, they all wanted to see also these opulence of Krishna, this spiritual manifestation, the spiritual world of the Lord. And then the Lord manifested in this Brahma Radha. He gave them the vision, you know, of the Brahma Jyoti, of the spiritual world, and also of the Vaikuntha planets, and also of Goloka. And when they realized the Lord's spiritual world, you know, they became exceedingly very happy and more convinced, you know, and more proud of Krishna, you know, that he is our Lord. And he takes care for us, you know, we are saved because he showed them, you know, that's your home, you know, the spiritual world, you know. And Vrindavan is not different from that. That was the realization of the God. Vrindavan is, Rasa dance, it's Gocharana Leela, so it's a lot of so-called passion, you know, but this is life, it's transcendental life. The Krishna is all transcendental, it's not rajas or ignorance. So it's always Satchitananda Vigraha, always full of, this Leela is full of knowledge and bliss in eternity. It goes on here in the material world and in the spiritual world. how cool is our Krishna? There are Krishna plays of Krishna's pastimes from 1 to 5. And from five to ten, Krishna this Pavanda, it's Vrindavan pastime. And from Pavanda to Kishore means from 10 to 15. Kishore Leela. Kishore Leela is mostly in underground, Radha Kund, also